All right, Luke chapter 6. And Lord willing, we're going to finish off this chapter tonight. Luke chapter 6 and verse 43 through 49. So Luke chapter 6 and verses 43 through to verse 49. If we can read the verses together, that'd be good. Just a few verses there. Luke chapter 6 and 43 to 49. Starting there in verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth the corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will shew ye to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you and bless you that we can come together and share this time, and Lord, to sing your praises. And Lord, what a marvelous salvation we have, blessed assurance. Lord, to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that one day when we leave this planet, either in the air or through the valley, Lord, we're going to be with you forever. Lord, all because of the cross of Calvary, as we've sung tonight, Lord, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Lord, we praise you, we bless you, and ask now, Father, as we look into this passage, that you would grant to us, Lord, eyes to see, ears to hear that which you'd have for each one of us. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so verse 17 through 26, we're not going to look at these verses, but just to remind ourselves, we have there the words of the Lord Jesus were both a blessing and of woe, weren't they? Then we looked at verse 27 through 36, and there the Lord was teaching how to treat other people. And in particular, of course, verse 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. What we call the golden rule. Do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. And then we looked at verse 37 through 42, and it was regarding judging others. And we all make judgments. It's not if we make them, we all make judgments. We have to. That's part of life. You make judgments, don't you? I'm going to eat that or not eat that. I'm going to go here or not go there. I do this, do that. So we all make judgments. But what the Lord Jesus, of course, one of the things he was saying here, that we need to be careful how we judge. We need to deal with the log or the beam that's in our own eye first of all, before we start pointing the finger at too many other people or too many other things. And I just say this, just pray for me at the moment. I'm considering, I've spoken to my wife, and I'm considering some issues which maybe need to address publicly. And I'm going to be accused of being a judge if I do. So I'm very careful about that before I go too far. So I just put that out there. Please be prayerful. I'm not saying what it is at this point, but there's some things that I think maybe need to be addressed. And I'll leave it there tonight. But we have to be careful that we do what the Lord Jesus said. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments, right? In other words, judge rightly. Not according to my feelings or preferences, but judge rightly. And so it's not just even the way we say it, is it? It's more than that. It's even, it's not only what we say, but sometimes it's how we say it. that's perhaps not so good in our judgment. But nevertheless, tonight we're going to go on to verse 43, and there's some thoughts here still about judging, isn't it? When we look at these verses here, 43 through 45. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus speaks of this again about the trees, but he precedes it by talking about false prophets. Okay, so just to help us maybe keep a little bit of a context compared with Matthew, you shall know them by their fruits. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 7. And so here we see another aspect of judging. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Okay, so the Lord says, you know, one way you can judge, one way you can tell is by their fruits. We look at the fruit, what's coming out of their lives, perhaps what's coming out of their mouth as well, but what's coming out? And it's very obvious, isn't it, what he says here. They don't pick figs from the bramble bush and they don't pick figs from the grapes. And I think he's saying that if there's some bad fruit, that'll be pretty obvious. We're talking bad fruit. We're not talking about some, you know, do I agree with them or not in that sense. We're talking about bad fruit. Remember, behind that also is false prophets. And false prophets can come along as angels of light. Apostle Paul wrote that to the church at Corinth, and how they can come along as angels of lights, and, you know, they come around and knock on your door, they're very friendly, or whatever it is, but the Lord says, you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. There's some basic biblical truths that we can test them by. And remember what John said. He said, you know, there are many false prophets gone. He said, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And we're to do that. Righteous judgments. What is their message of salvation, for example? You know, we're to judge them. What's the fruit of their message? Where's that going to finish, etc., etc.? So he says you're not going to get good fruit from a bad tree. You're not going to get bad fruit from a good tree. And then he makes the application, doesn't he, in verse 45, where he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Notice what he says, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Right? Remember what the Proverbs says. Proverbs 4, have a look, keep your hand in Luke, but Proverbs chapter 4, this was a passage that David preached from recently, but Proverbs chapter 4, and in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Notice what he says, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. All right? So, you know, so you can't judge what's in their heart. There is a sense where that's true. But you can see what's in their heart because it comes out. There's fruit. That's what the Bible says. There's fruit there. There's fruit. And so we're not being critical for the sake of being critical or anything else, but the Bible's quite clear. We're to keep our hearts because out of it are the issues of life. For the abundance of the heart is mouth speaketh. Okay? So one way we can make a judgment is, what's the person teaching or saying? And we can listen to them. What are they saying? What are they teaching? What's the fruit? What's coming out? Because what's coming out of their mouth is what's in their heart. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's one reason why we keep emphasizing we must hide God's word in our heart, so that when we speak, it'll come out when we're speaking, amen? We're not speaking our own little bits of wisdom or cleverness. It's the word of God and the principles of the word of God which we're speaking out. That's how it ought to be. And that's why David wrote, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so again, I just want to encourage us, make sure that we're hiding God's word in our heart. Very important. I know I keep emphasizing it. Sometimes I think, Stop talking about it as a hobby horse. It's not a hobby horse in such. It's a very important biblical truth. Very important biblical truth. Now, there's a vast difference, we know, in the scriptures between the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit, isn't it? You have a look in Galatians chapter 5, and we won't turn there now, but we know what happens. The works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, evil, etc., etc., etc. Where's that coming? It's coming out of the heart. Or the fruit of the spirit, which is love, joy, peace, etc. That'll be evident as well. You know, so when we're judging, we're looking for fruit. You know, we're not going around and checking everybody under a microscope either, by the way. Okay, but it's going to be obvious, isn't it, when we're talking with someone, is this the flesh or is it the fruit of the spirit which is coming out? Because out of the man's heart, out of the abundance of it, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, what's going to come out? The Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, the teachings of the Word of God. That's what's going to come out. But if we're in the flesh, guess what's going to come out? Bad fruit. Bad fruit. And the fruit will be evident of what kind it is. Now, having said that, the tree may be good, but the fruit may not be. You say, how do you go with that? Well, we'll have a look at that as we go along. In verse 46, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And isn't that just what I call a key truth there? The Lord Jesus is now beginning to wrap up all his teachings. He's taught about the words of blessing and cursing and how to treat others and judging others and everything else. And now he brings it down to this one great truth. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What's the ultimate test, really? Obedience, isn't it? Obedience is the ultimate test. That's what it's all about. We need to be careful. The importance of bringing forth good fruit. Now, they've heard him speak. They've even called him Lord. Lord, Lord. But the real test, is he Lord? That's the test, isn't it? We can give lip service to that. Oh, Jesus is my Lord. Really? Fruit doesn't seem to look that way. No, he's my Lord. Well, the fruit's not looking good. Remember, the word Lord means master. We belong to him. He has complete authority over all of our life. That being the case, we should obey him in how much? Everything. It's what it should be, shouldn't it? But the Lord said, you know, if you call me Lord, Lord, then how come you don't do that which I say? It's a fair question, isn't it? You know, we say we're saved and we acknowledge that and we believe that Jesus died for us and was buried and raised again and we've trusted Christ as our Saviour. We've done all that and we're saved and we call him Lord. But how come we're not living in total obedience to him? It's a worry, isn't it? That's a concern. You know, we can be hearers but not doers. Remember that. Have a look in Ezekiel chapter 33. This is something that's been a problem throughout human history. Those who hear and don't do. Ezekiel and chapter 33. Ezekiel is quite a challenging chapter in different ways. It talks about responsibility for the watchman. To warn people. But notice in verse 31, Ezekiel 33, verse 31. Well, read verse 30 first of all. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear. What is the word that cometh forth from the Lord?" We just want to hear about the Lord. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear the words, but they do them not. Now you can sit there and say, boy, that was a great message, Pastor, and go out and live in disobedience. That's what he's talking about. Ezekiel, they're going to listen there, they're going to say, wow, we just want to hear from the Lord. This is great. Wow, this is a blessing. He said, the problem with it, with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They call him Lord, Lord, but they're not doing it. They're not doing it. James, have a look there. James, we know the passage, I think, quite well. James chapter 1. We find the same thing that James speaks of. James chapter 1. Verse 22, where he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, you know, be a doer, not just a hearer of the word. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he says, I'll give you an illustration here. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He says, you like the person. You just go there, right, okay. You go and look in the mirror, and walk away and just forgot everything about what you saw. For beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Pretty simple enough, isn't it? Why call you me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? You're not doing what I tell you. It's almost like, look, don't call me Lord. If you're not going to do what I want you to do, just don't call me Lord. That's hypocrisy. It's interesting, I was reading something which I found quite amusing, but Ryle made some comment about, you remember there was a song that the women sang about David and Saul? Remember how they sang and they said, you know, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. And he took that and he put it this way. He said, open sin and avowed unbelief slay their thousands, but profession without practice slays tens of thousands. I thought, man, that covers it pretty good. You know, we profess to know the Lord, we profess him as Lord, but we don't do what he says. Well, you and I need to make sure that we're not guilty of that, amen. You notice there in verse 47, he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He said, okay, I'll give you an example now. You call me Lord, Lord, you don't do, but I'll show you. Someone who does, they hear what I say and do what I tell them. I'll show you what he's like, right? He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. How good is that? How good is that? Those who hear and do. So they're like that man who goes out. Notice what it says there. Now this man, he built a house and he digged deep. He digged deep. There's no shallow carry on here. He's serious about building this house. Kind of reminds us, isn't, how serious are we about living for the Lord? He went out and he digged deep. Hard work. Christian life is what? Hard life in some ways. It's a hard life. It's not a bed of roses. It's not floating to heaven on cloud nine. That's not the way it is. He digs deep. It's hard work. Many challenges along the way. But what's he saying? Obedience to God's word is likened to building on a rock. It starts with Christ and it continues with him. We're building on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus. Now, then he goes on and says, okay, let's have a look at the other side of that. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That doesn't sound too good to me. There's a principle there, isn't it? He says, if you want to be disobedient to the Lord, you call him Lord, but then disobey him, guess what? You're going to have some serious problems. You're going to have some serious troubles. Why? Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son. As I said before, just being saved doesn't guarantee that you're only going to have good fruit. Oh, I'm saved, that'll be all good fruit. No, 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 you think about it. We can still build wood, hay and stubble on the rock. So how do you know? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, sounds like good works, good fruit, or wood, hay, stubble, sounds like bad fruit. But every man's work shall be made manifest, because it shall be tried by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it good fruit, bad fruit? Well, what if the work abides? He shall receive a reward. What if it doesn't abide? He'll go to hell. No, it doesn't say that, does it? What it says is there'll be no reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, just snuck in, I'd say. Saved, but not a doer. Not walking in obedience. Building on that foundation, didn't dig deep and build it on Christ and his word, just did it on feelings or whatever else, and at the end of it, no rewards. No, yes, in heaven, saved, yet so as by fire. So, a life that is truly yielded to the Lord will be able to withstand the storms of life. They'll come. They're going to come. And, you know, the test is not, yeah, I've been saved, you know, 5 minutes and I'm just praising God and everything's great. How about 5 years' time? How about 10 years' time? How about 20 years' time? How about 30 years' time? Are we still saved and still on the rock and still building on the rock Christ Jesus? What are we building on the rock? And I think it's true to say that many Christians are swept away because he is not Lord. In other words, they're not walking in obedience. And when you're not, what happens? It says about that person who builds a house just on the ground, on the sand. The stream did beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And we don't have to go too far. We probably all know people who at least profess Christians whose lives are in wreckage today. Why? Because they didn't build on the rock obedience. They decided they're going to do their own thing. Now, are they saved? Well, the Lord alone knows that. But the fact is, their life is not in good shape today. Well, they've professed him as Lord. That's right, but they built on that rock. Wood, hay, stubble. Costly business because it brings ruin. So, without pointing everybody else, what about you and I? Is he Lord? That's really a serious question, isn't it? Is the Lord Jesus Lord of every area of our lives? Because if he's not, there's a serious concern there. Because if it stays like that, verse 49 will kick in. That's what will happen. If we make him Lord and we dig deep, verse 48 will be there. Amen? And it won't matter what the storms of life are and what the tests and trials, by the grace of God and through God, we'll be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Is my life a life of ongoing obedience, or is there an area not yielded? You know, sometimes we call him Lord, but there's a little pocket over here which we're kind of hanging on to. Yeah, Lord, I probably shouldn't do that. I probably shouldn't. Well, stop doing it. Because if it's not of faith, it's sin. Amen? It's not building on the rock. It's disobedience. So is he Lord? Not just in word, remember what he said? Why call you me Lord, Lord? But indeed, that's what's important. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you and bless you. Lord, these are the teachings of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and he always spake the truth. And Lord, these are very practical truths. They're very simple truths in one sense. Lord, we are to call you Lord, Lord, Lord. But then our lives are to reflect that. Our lives are to be a life of obedience to our Lord, to follow him and to follow his word. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you. And Father, I pray for each one of us that we, as we sit here tonight, Lord, as I stand here, we are able to say, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is the rock upon which I am building my life. And I'm trusting him day by day to give me the strength, to give me the grace, to give me what all that I need, so that I might indeed be like that man who dig deep. And when the storms came, they didn't affect him. He withstood it all. And may that be the testimony of each and every one of us here tonight. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.